folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. So happy to be with you on a Sunday evening. Look, the bottom line is President Trump is the president for all working class folks. He's the blue collar president. The Democrats think they enjoyed this moniker. Not anymore. And the fact that there are so many union leaders out there still supporting Joe Biden, to me, is disgrace to union membership. Joe Biden is a job killer. There is no doubt about that in my mind. A job killer may be an understatement. He's an economy killer. He's an industry killer. We're going to go through exactly why. I'm going to show you the total hypocrisy on behalf of union leadership in this episode. And I'll show you how deranged many of these union leaders are, as literally they're watching their industries disappear before their very eyes. I want to thank Midas Gold Group. Of course, they're the sponsors of this program. MidasGoldGroup.com. Chaos is an understatement, what we're going through right now. Now is the time to put your money into precious metals. If there ever was a time, the folks at Midas Gold Group can help you. Veteran-owned. MidasGoldGroup.com. MidasGoldGroup.com. All right, let's get the show started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks. Well, I told you President Trump clearly has the best interest of all Americans in mind. It's why he's booming in the polls right now. Another poll has him up at least 5% nationally over Joe Biden. This is not a surprise, seeing that the economy is failing. The economy is on people's minds. Immigration is a disaster. Immigration on people's minds. The two top issues President Trump's got control of and will get control back of once he gets into the White House. But specifically when I look at certain industries, trucking industry, the Teamsters, when I look at United Auto Workers, when I look at the mining industry, why would these unions not come out and endorse President Trump right away? Now, I understand that unions and the Democrats have a long storied history together, and it's usually backed in corruption. It's usually based off of power brokering. It's usually not with the best interest of members in mind. That history of Democrats and union leadership is hard to bust. But the reality is union members are turning on the Democrats. This Green New Deal, the climate change zealotry, has changed the dynamic for union members. Think about ironworking union members. You think that fits into the climate change mentality, iron workers? But specifically, I want to start off with the Teamsters. So the Teamsters and trucking. Now, the Democrats and their quest to literally destroy our economy based off of trying to save the climate and save the environment is destroying the trucking industry. I used to own a trucking company. I ran 15, 18 wheelers. Not a huge company, but not a little tiny company either. One that I got to experience firsthand just what the dangers of Democrat policies really mean. And that includes all kinds of environmental regulations and equipment that I had to put on my truck to the point I couldn't even run my trucks in California. So think about that. I've got trucks sitting empty that I could put a driver in to drive in California, but those trucks are not allowed to run in California. That's a job killer right there. So President Trump met with the Teamsters last week. And this is smart. As a Republican, typically Republicans were not courting unions. They need to be. As a Republican, President Trump met with the Teamsters. He came out and he said this.
I think we had a very productive meeting. Stranger things have happened. Usually a Republican wouldn't get that endorsement for many, many years. They only do Democrats, but in my case it's different because I've employed thousands of Teamsters, and I thought we should come over and pay our respects. And as you know, a big part of the voting bloc votes for me.
A huge part votes for him. President Trump, I've never seen anything like it. A billionaire that relates to the working class, and the working class relates to him. They love him. He goes down the street in New York City. You get construction workers yelling President Trump's name, yelling at him, screaming, loving him. This goes back a long way in New York. President Trump was never a favorite of the elites in New York. He always, even it seemed to me, he felt more comfortable around the working class folks. And you see that when he's out at his rallies. That is working class folks at his rallies around the country. So if you're a Teamster, how would you support Joe Biden when literally he's waging war on the trucking industry? You talk about these restrictions that they put on trucks across the country. They want to replace diesel trucks. Now, how do you think that's going to work? Because the trucks aren't going to be able to run as long as diesel trucks do. They can't pull as heavy loads as diesel trucks do. This is one trucking industry owner talking about his business under the threat of Democrat regulation.
This typically would be a $30,000 truck. Right now it's worthless. People are offering me $5,000 for it. Out of my 13 trucks, I have 8 trucks that are just sitting here.
Any new port truck purchased after next New Year's Day will have to be a zero emissions truck, either electric or hydrogen fuel cell.
I have to go to zero emission trucks. Those trucks are $400,000. They're still not ready for prime time.
No, they're not. How do you expect him to do that? The sad reality is, and I would hate to see it, is that guy go out of business. That's the last thing that I would want to see happen. So I know about this because I believe that the government doesn't just target the business owners. And this is what truck drivers have to realize. That story is about a business owner who can't afford $400,000 trucks. But in the end, that trickles down to the truck driver who's going to be out of a job when no one can afford these $400,000 trucks. So when I tell you they target the drivers, all you have to do is use the government's own words. Think about when they're writing you a ticket for not meeting standards. They write the ticket to the driver. Check this out. This is a government official in California.
Our agency is not here simply to write citations. Our agency is here to protect their health and to try and help them understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how they can best work within the framework that we've created to accomplish those goals.
So you think that he's concerned about the truck driver not being able to afford when the air regulator comes into a truck stop and writes him a ticket? And think about all the owner operators out there as well. In the end, if I'm a Teamsters union member, I'm saying there is no way, no way that you can be voting for Joe Biden through all of this. Absolutely not. So this is President Trump, all right, talking about his meeting after the Teamsters.
We just had a meeting with the Teamsters, and one of the biggest problems they have is millions of people are pouring into the country. And that's a killer for the Teamsters, and I'm going to stop it. And that's why the Teamsters, I think, support me. Now, I don't know if the top people will support me. We're going to have to find that out. But within the union itself, I have tremendous support.
So what is it about union leadership that doesn't understand or see the writing on the wall? See, union leadership thinks they score points with members when they raise wages. Typically, this is what Democrats will do. And this is why they've had this great support from Democrats. Democrats will fight for higher wages. So Joe Biden will go out there and he'll stand with the auto workers that go on strike. And he'll say the auto workers need higher wages, higher wages, higher wages. All the while, Joe Biden is working to get more electric vehicles on the road, which has already cost a loss of about 150,000 jobs with these electric vehicles. You've got Ford laying off people. Daimler and Audi have already laid off 20,000 people. This stuff has a cost to it. So, yeah, you may get higher wages, and Joe Biden might say, yeah, I want you to get $25, $30, $35, $40, $50 an hour. But what good does that do you if he's put your industry out of business? Union leaders think they score points with the members by getting these higher wages. Members don't know what hit them until they get that pink slip in the mail. And yet the union leaders have power because ultimately the Democrats are funding them and their power play inside the unions. This is, by the way, the UAW president, who is literally a disgrace, if you ask me, because this is what he says about President Trump. This is the leader of the United Auto Workers. And think, President Trump wants to save combustible engines. He wants to save fossil fuels. He wants to save the auto industry, traditional cars and trucks. And yet this is what he says about Trump.
Donald Trump is a scab. Donald Trump is a billionaire, and that's who he represents. If Donald Trump ever worked in an auto plant, he wouldn't be a UAW member. He'd be a company man trying to squeeze the American worker.
I believe Donald Trump would be a company man trying to save the industry and trying to save the American auto, the American-made auto. That is my full belief. He can scream about Donald Trump being a scab because Donald Trump's a businessman, and know that you keep raising wages to the point that it's no longer affordable to make cars anymore, or no one can buy those cars anymore. You will sink the business. There is a happy medium. Does Sean Fain, the president of the United Auto Workers, not understand what Joe Biden wants to do?
A future of the automobile industry that is electric. Battery, electric, plug-in, hybrid, electric, fuel cell, electric. It's electric, and there's no turning back. I'm signing an executive order setting out a target of 50% of all passenger vehicles sold by 2030 will be electric.
By 2030, that's six years from now. Does a United Auto Worker not listen to that? Does a Teamster not listen to that? That is the kind of thing that should scare you to death, folks. Again, this is what I mean. President Trump is the president for every working class American out there. He's also the president for every business owner out there. Because what President Trump will do is ensure that free markets remain free, that competition remains competitive. So what happens? The best of the best survive. Workers will always be able to find a job because there'll be companies that are successful, and consumers are going to get the best of what any company has to offer. That's what free markets is all about. Free markets is good for the consumer. It's great for the businesses. It's not good for people that want to hose you. It's not good for the union leaders that want to play games with you. So again, President Trump is the only choice, and yet I don't understand why these union leaders do not understand this. Right now, if you work solely on an internal combustion engine, remember, that would go away with an all-electric fleet. It's about 150,000 jobs in America that work solely on combustion, internal combustion engines. Yet, you know, they want to forget about that. This is President Trump again.
Well, I think the UAW made a terrible decision. And by allowing all electric cars, they're all going to be made in China. You're going to have no jobs over here. But I will not allow all electric cars. I'm going to have all kinds of cars because the electric mandate is a disaster. They don't go far enough. They cost too much. We don't have the materials to make them, but China does. And you've heard me say it 100 times. No, I would end that. You can buy an electric car, absolutely, but you're also going to be able to buy other types of cars.
That's called free markets. The government shouldn't be mandating you buy an electric car, shouldn't be giving you money to buy an electric car. The government should say, hey, electric cars are great. They serve a certain purpose. I would love an electric car to run around town in, but I don't want an electric car if I got to drive on a road trip. They make no sense. I mean, I nearly ran out of gas when I rented one. I was driving back to the airport. It said I had enough gas. Little did I know, if you drive over 80 miles an hour, it drains the battery very quickly. I couldn't make it to the airport. had to pull over, find a place to charge. What a nightmare it was. So even with that nightmare, electric vehicles serve a purpose, but don't let government make the market for them. And by the way, President Trump raises a very good point. All of the rare earth minerals that are used for the batteries, most of the parts in electric vehicles come from China. We're just going to make ourselves beholden to China again. And if you want just another reminder, if you're an auto worker, that the Biden administration will put you out of business. This is Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary.
Our goal is by the end of this decade to be about half and half. We think that that can and will happen. I don't know a lot of people who think that Americans in 2050 are still going to be driving that old technology, that combustion technology that we inherited from the 20th century.
Again, they're hell-bent on pushing this wacky, wacky, wacky idea of all electric vehicles in the United States and no gas. I'm going to tell you about another union that this next union makes no sense why they are not making a public endorsement for President Trump. Talk about a war on this union. I'll reveal it in a moment. But first, let me tell you about my friends over at Midas Gold Group. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD. I mean it when I tell you, you got to start thinking about putting some money into precious metals. There's a war on cash like I've never seen before. I know that China is buying up gold in record numbers. That's been proven. China's doing this because they know the dollar is failing under Joe Biden. We have our own government trying to create a digital currency so they can literally track how you spend your money. They can hit a button, take it away if they don't like how you spend it. So what is a commodity you can hold? Well, of course, gold. Gold you can hold. Bury it in the backyard, hide it in your grandmother's attic, put it in your gun safe. But start hoarding gold and do it now. And God forbid we had some kind of a natural disaster or catastrophe where the banking system goes down. We know that China is working on hacking our systems. Wouldn't you like some peace of mind knowing that some of your finances are protected in a physical commodity? MidasGoldGroup.com is where I would urge you to go. MidasGoldGroop.com, 855-322-GOLD, MidasGoldGroup.com. All right. So after Pete Buttigieg speaks, there's another union that I am baffled that they are not making an endorsement. That union is the United Mine Workers of America. Mine workers. Joe Biden wants to close every coal mine in America. He is waging war on coal. Yet the United Mine Workers of America sent out a press release saying, we are making no endorsement for president. So they're saying, okay, we're not going to endorse Biden, but we're not going to endorse Trump. How are you so dumb? How are you so dumb that you wouldn't get every single one of your union members to get President Trump back in office so we can continue to mine coal? Coal is one of the most reliable forms of energy. We can burn it cleaner than ever before. Wouldn't it be great to export it to China? Get China relying on us for something for a change. And forget about this nonsense that somehow coal is killing the environment when literally we have India and China and Russia and other foreign nations that are burning coal in not a clean fashion. Wouldn't you rather have America burning coal here in much cleaner fashion? Instead, they want to put coal miners out of business, and that union will not endorse? How are you so dumb that you don't endorse President Trump? Just listen to Joe Biden.
All they're doing is they're going to save them a hell of a lot of money and using the same transmission line that transmitted the coal-fired electric on. We're going to be shutting these plants down all across America and having wind and solar.
All right, so what happens when the wind doesn't blow? What happens when the sun doesn't shine? Wind and solar, that's their deal, I guess. Coal will work all the time. It is, as I said, one of the most reliable forms of energy. It's a huge natural resource for the United States. You go into Western Pennsylvania, into West Virginia, and those areas, and the United Mine Workers of America refuses to endorse President Trump. Get on board with the reality. Stop worrying about politics. Stop worrying about what your friends will think and start doing what's right for the country. Now is a time we need boldness. And I wouldn't even think you'd have to be that bold to be the leader of the mine workers to say, hey, Joe Biden wants to shut us down and put us out of business. I think we ought to go with Trump here. But again, their bullheadedness, their blind liberal zombieism has them so focused that they can't even endorse President Trump. It's disgusting. If you don't believe me on the war on coal, here's John Kerry.
By 2030 in the United States, we won't have coal. We will not have coal plants. By 2035, President Biden has set a target that we will be in our power sector carbon free.
So, folks, he just told you 6 years from now, if he gets his way, there will be no more coal. So let's go through this. The Teamsters has not issued an endorsement for President Trump. Certainly listening to Sean Fain, the president of the United Auto Workers, calling President Trump a scab, it doesn't sound like they're going to issue an endorsement for President Trump. United Mine Workers already said they will not endorse President Trump. And yet what? You have Joe Biden and John Kerry saying we're going to have all electric fleets by 2050. John Kerry and Joe Biden saying there'll be no more coal plants in just 6 years. And yet these unions still don't act. It's like they're being banged in the face. Bang, bang, bang in the head. Wake up. Shake them. But you know who's awake? The union members themselves are awake. You see them everywhere. You see them on the sidewalks of every street in America. Working class folks who believe in the power of a Trump presidency to make America great again. That is what will happen when President Trump gets back into office. No matter what these union leaders think, I believe the members have smartened up. And the members have smartened up to a point where the large majority of them are going to vote for President Trump. That, to me, is true. Sean O'Brien, which brings us back to the Teamsters, he's the president, even made a little hint that he's baffled that Joe Biden has not made a play for the Teamsters. Because Joe Biden just expects it. He expects their vote, and that is Democrat arrogance.
He's obviously taking his time for such a meeting. Did you take offense to that?
Look, we are one of the most, no, I didn't take offense to it. I'm a little perplexed by it. We are one of the most powerful unions in the country, and our 1.3 million members vote. I have had conversations with the president via phone several weeks ago. But I'll say this, if you truly want, anybody that truly wants our endorsement should come to the table sooner than later.
But he's not done that.
There's been conversations, he hasn't committed, you're correct.
How does Joe Biden not go and visit with the Teamsters that has been literally a Democrat stronghold forever? Maybe he's embarrassed. Maybe he will say, you know what? Maybe Sean O'Brien, the president of the Teamsters, will say, Joe, you're killing us. You're killing the trucking industry. Everything you're doing. Why should my members vote for you? You want to put them out of business. Even Sean O'Brien, the president of the United Auto Workers, that called President Trump a scab, that said President Trump's just a company man. Well, he made the admission that I've been telling you here today, that the majority of his members are not with him.
Let me be clear about this. A great majority of our members will not vote for President Biden. Yes, some will. But that's the reality of this. The majority of our members are going to vote their paychecks. They're going to vote for an economy that works for them.
So why are you calling President Trump a scab? Why are you calling him a company man? When the majority of your members are standing with Trump and the idea of making America great again, making the auto industry great again. America used to make the greatest cars in the world. They used to be sturdy and stand up to anything. We made the best trucks. Not anymore, folks. I don't buy American cars. I should, but I don't. I drive German-made cars. I wish I could get back to driving an American-made car. And, you know, even if I went to buy a pickup truck, I always say, all right, Ford was my favorite. You know what? Toyota's making a hell of a pickup truck these days. They're kicking our butts when it comes to this. And so in the end, wouldn't you like to get back to making the best cars in the world? Can be done. But we got to let free markets take over. And unions have to stop the stranglehold on the automakers as well. I will say that. There was no doubt in my mind about that. A little talk before I let you go about the Republican National Committee. I think it needs new leadership. I think Rona McDaniel has to go. I think over the long haul, she has meant well, but she does not represent what the Republican Party has come today. This is the Make America Great Again. The America First faction of the Republican Party has taken over. It's you and me. It's not the elitists anymore. It's not the billionaires. President Trump represents us. President Trump is the Republican Party today, not Rona McDaniel. And then I look at this cash shortage. $10 million line of credit they're now seeking because they're out of cash. That to me is frightening. This was a report on CNN of all places.
We learned last night the RNC finished 2023 with $8 million cash on hand.
Which is like nothing.
Which is nothing. The broad picture, I mean, we probably have Senate campaigns, that haven't even got started yet that probably have that much cash on hand. It's the worst financial performance of the RNC in absolute dollar terms since 1993, and compounding that is just a string of losses. I mean, essentially, since she's been chair, the RNC has never won, or they've always fallen short of expectations.
So there's one of the few examples I've got to agree with this guy on CNN, with CNN of all places. One of the reasons the RNC is falling short on raising money are people like me have been telling people like you not to give to the RNC, give to the candidates directly. In many respects, part of me is rethinking that because we need a strong RNC as we go into this presidential cycle. We need it to be flush with cash compared to the Democrats. But I don't like the way they squander money. I saw an article in Red State that basically had showed what the RNC was spending money on. I have been hammering away at the consultant model. The consultants are not good for politics. They're a third party that basically suck candidates dry. The RNC had spent $1.1 million on consultants to the DNC's $114,000. And when the RNC uses consultants, there's no accountability. Meaning if you win your race, you should get a bonus. But if you lose your race, you should get not nearly as much as we're paying you. There should be a penalty, and if you lose, Democrats run campaigns like that with consultants. Then I see RNC limousines, $263,000 to the DNC, just $7,000. Office supplies, $300,000 for the Republican National Committee, $45,000 for the DNC. It's a $255,000 swing in office supplies. What the hell are you doing? And maybe the most egregious, because it just makes me angry, is floral arrangements. The Republicans spent $70,000 on flowers, the DNC just $795 in the same period of time that was compared. Which leads me to my buddy Steve Bannon saying the same thing that I've been saying. This is him with my other buddy John Fredericks, but listen.
The Warren posse, we will never allow a penny to go to that operation after what they've done to Trump in this primary. The $350 million, the opportunity cost of that money. If we had that money instead of these vanity project debates that Rana and Bossie and all those guys want to be big shots hanging out with Fox and hanging out with ABC, they're responsible.
Yeah, they were ridiculous, the amount of money spent on those debates. And then giving those debates to outlets that are basically anti-Republican made no sense. Totally mismanaged. We need new leadership. We had an opportunity for it, and yet the Republican National Committee is set up and run by elites. It was very hard for an infiltrator candidate to be able to win and beat out Rona McDaniel. There's got to be change from the inside. And I think once President Trump gets back into the office, he should make this one of his priorities to change. And that is leadership in the Republican Party, because if he's president, he most certainly would be able to do that. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this edition of Stinchfield. I don't often broadcast on a Sunday, but I'm so glad I did. GrantStinchfield.com, GrantStinchfield.com. At Stinchfield 1776 on all the social media platforms. I urge you to find me there. Give me a follow and sign up for the email list as well at grantstinchfield.com. That way I have your email. God forbid anything happens, I'm still able to communicate with you during who knows what. Cancellations and all these other things that go crazy. Got to have the email list so we can stay in touch. All right, again, thanks to Midas Gold Group, MidasGoldGroup.com for their sponsorship of this program. And we will see you Monday evening on the Real America's Voice show. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. Thanks to all of you.